Our readings this morning take us to the heart of the gospel. What we believe about God and about Jesus and what it means to believe in him. And for that reason, and for good reason, it goes right to the first lessons many of us ever remember learning at church in Sunday school or VBS or church camp. The reading includes the verse that was the first verse that many of us memorized. Scripture memory is a good thing, and it's often neglected. But even those for whom Scripture memory is neglected still often know this one by heart. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Many of us first met God with this verse on a poster on the wall over our teacher's head. It became for us the heart of the gospel. God is love, we learned. God's love made known in Jesus, who was God in the flesh, who lived and taught and showed people God's love for all kinds of people. For religious scholars and for fishermen. For rich people and poor people. For fat and thin, young and old, for mommies and daddies and boys and girls, for fathers and mothers and those who've come long before us, and our children and our children's children and all those yet unborn. For my neighbor, no matter who my neighbor is or how far away they live, even for enemies. We learned all of this, that God is love. And the shape of that love is the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. You can spend a whole lifetime contemplating your place in God's inexhaustible love and never reach its depths or its heights. You could spend your life trying to be worthy of that love and you won't go far enough. You could spend your whole life trying to love others and you won't discover its breadth. God is love, and this means everything. But even then, sometimes, God's love falls on deaf ears. The famous, outspoken atheist Christopher Hitchens was one of those. He said, "When Christians say God is love, it's just white noise to me." White noise is the static that drowns out the possibility of meaningful sounds. When I think of white noise, I think of a staff retreat several years ago when one of our staff, who shall go unnamed, but he knows who he is, claimed he couldn't sleep without his white noise machine. We all said, that's fine, no problem. A little background white noise isn't so bad when you're sleeping in an unfamiliar place. What we didn't know was that white noise for him was the roar of a B-52 engine rattling your teeth. I looked over. That night, he slept like a baby. I moved out to the garage. For most people, white noise isn't such a roar. It's more like the sound of traffic on a distant highway. It's meaningless noise. It's empty calories, a distraction, a nothingness. The Bible word would be hevel, a vanity of vanities, a nothingness. Wood smoke, vapor rising in the air and dissipating into the ether. He said, God is love. It's white noise to me. Hitchens may have a point. The love of God has been undermined by the unloving words and actions of Christians, sentimentalized by our reduction of love into warm fuzzies and empty tropes, and stigmatized by those who make it a slogan rather than the revolutionary source of all being. In the ears of the world, God is love can sound like white noise. It can for Christians, too, when we lose sight of its meaning. We might believe it, but do we really know it? We might put it on a poster in our children's classrooms, but are we still in awe of it? Does it make us walk the aisle or run to Jesus or cross the oceans to share the good news? Does it still make us fall on our knees or lay down our lives. The Bible's vision of love is the sort your life hangs on. It matters. In our reading from Ephesians, God's love is called great love. God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. God's great love is resurrecting, redeeming love, bringing to life what is dead, giving hope and despair, giving grace to the unworthy. And those words are not empty words. They have power, the power to save our lives. And yet, so often we just say God is love like we say other obvious things that don't really matter. The sky is blue, water is wet, daylight savings time is dumb, God is love. Just say stuff. So we fall in the same trap with love. It just becomes an empty saying. The Old Testament's favorite way of describing God's love may not inspire us much further. Steadfast. God's steadfast love. Now, there's nothing wrong with something steadfast. It's unchanging, everlasting, sure, and solid. But steadfast love can kind of sound like white noise. It's just in the background. It's just there and it doesn't do anything much, right? Are you sure about that? Not in Psalm 107. In Psalm 107, steadfast love is not a generic static noise of the universe. Steadfast love is that which is there when everything else is gone. It's what saves you when you have nothing left to hope for. It gives you courage for one more day when you don't think you can continue on. Steadfast love is not static. It's what's there when everything dynamic has blown up in your face. Maybe we can't really know the depths and heights and breadth of God's love until we've been in that situation, until we've tasted fear or despair or discouragement and cried out in our trouble. But once you've been rescued from despair, steadfast love doesn't sound like static. It sounds like salvation. Psalm 107, which I think is one of the most underrated psalms, if that's a thing that a psalm can be. Psalm 107 presents four kinds of people, each of which are in their own kind of trouble. And each of these descriptions begins, some people. There's four of them. These descriptions are rooted in Israel's story, but the experience rings true in lives in every generation. Four kinds of people. See if you recognize yourself or someone you love in one of these four kinds of people. Some people. Some people are lost in the desert, and they can find no way to a refuge. They hunger and thirst, and their soul faints within them. Do you know that feeling? They are those who don't know what direction to head, and they can't find a way out of the boundless expanse of their wandering. Some people. Some people are in darkness in the shadow of death. They are prisoners of affliction and of irons. They are burdened with heavy labor, but when they stumble and fall, there is no one to help, and they are trapped. Do you know this feeling? It's like being in prison, trapped by the bars of your past decisions, or your circumstances, or the actions of other people. They can't see a way out. Some people. Then there are some people who are fools for what they've done to hurt themselves and others. They suffer the consequences of their own actions, but that doesn't make their those consequences any easier to take. Do you know this feeling? They cannot even stomach food, which in Scripture means not only the food, but the people that food is shared with, the creatures from which food comes and the God who provides it. They can't stand other people or themselves, the world around them, or barely God. And they can't see a way to pick themselves up off the floor. And then there are some people who are confident in who they are, and they strike out with a head full of assurance and a heart full of hope. They head out to sea in a big old ship to seek their fortune, and then a storm comes up, a big one. The wind blows and the waves churn and the boat is tossed to the sky and crashes down to the depths. Do you know this feeling? Life turns upside down. They stagger like drunkards. Their courage is gone and they can't see how they can survive one more hit. Four kinds of people, four terrible experiences. Lost in the desert under the hot sun, all hope is gone. Alone in the dark in prison, all light is gone. Disgusted with themselves and everything else, all belonging is gone. Fearful they can't weather the storm, all courage is gone. Psalm 107, four kinds of people, four kinds of trouble. But then something happens. From each kind of person, in the depths of their trouble and despair, comes a prayer. A simple prayer, an utterance, a cry comes out from each of the four people. And it's the same prayer in each of those four circumstances. Then they cried to the Lord, and he delivered them from their distress. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. And again, then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. Say it with me. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. This is love. God's steadfast love made known to desperately suffering people, all kinds of people. And the wilderness wanderer is led on a straight way. And her hungering soul is nourished. The imprisoned is brought out of darkness in the shadow of death. Doors and bars are broken, and he is set free. Fools receive God's word, which heals them in every way a person can be healed. They are changed from rejecting God's goodness and creation to a heart overflowing with thanksgiving. For the lost at sea, the storm is stilled and the winds are hushed and they make it home alive. They come home with stories to tell of their deliverance. What about you? What's your redemption story? What kind of beloved person are you? For you are a beloved person. What kind of some people are you? Are you like one of these kinds of people? Is this your story, or do you have a slightly different chapter to write to add your story to the story of God's redemption of people? Into every life come trials and suffering. Cry to the Lord in your trouble. God loves you. God is love. And that love is coming to deliver. God's love is great, steadfast, sacrificial love. And so we remember Christ, who took on the world's suffering and pain and sin. The cross of Christ points in four directions, pointing us toward the height and depth and breadth and reach of the love of God. When God loves all the world, God loves all the world just where the world needs deliverance and renewal, redemption, salvation, hope, life. And so we can, with a full heart, say, indeed, God so loved the world, He gave His only Son. In Him we believe. In Him we have life. Thanks be to God.